Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. We do this every Saturday morning here to talk about friends, food, Facebook, all those folks you see out there who are out there making barbecue, doing food things, That's what our show is all about. We'd like to welcome you to another Saturday edition of our show. This morning here in California, it is C-O-L-D, cold. Of course, you folks on the East Coast, I guess you're still digging out from snow, but hey, over here in California, our blood runs thin, and when it's 40 degrees, it's cold to us. Like I said, I'd like to welcome everybody here. Last week, we had a little technical difficulties, and we lost our radio connection, and nothing like having dead air for about 45 minutes. But we're going to give it a shot again this morning, and we'd like to welcome you again. And today, we have two special guests. Our first guest today is a gentleman from, I'm going to say it wrong, probably Las Cruces, New Mexico, and I'm going to try to get him on the line, and it is Kirk Moncrief. Kirk, you on the phone with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, hey, we did it this time. Sorry about last week. How's everything? How's everything out there in New Mexico?
It's cold and windy today.
You guys don't get any snow out there,
good weather all week, and excuse me.
So you
don't we were having good weather
there,
all
dude.
Week, but today it's gotten cold and windy and not a good day to grill.
Oh, now, come on. Every day is a good day to grill, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. Cook something fast. No low and slow smoking out there.
Yeah, that smoke or low and slow stuff is kind of tough when the wind's blowing. Hey, Kirk, I wanted to have you on our show. First of all, you had sent me some samples of your product, and I actually received those and used those. Let's see, what day was it? I believe it was Thursday night. And, Kirk, what you have is your company's called Albuquerque Seasonings, and you sent me some products that you guys are selling out there in New Mexico, and I tried out your barbecue rubs and also your sauce, and I actually had some pork steaks and ribs, and they did a number on my ribs and my pork steak, and there was nothing left on the plate when we were done, so I guess that means we liked it. But I wanted to just get you on the phone and you kind of tell us a little bit about your company and how you got started with Albuquerque Seasonings and what you do out there in New Mexico, and I'll let you kind of give us a little history lesson about your company.
Well, thanks. Well, on my recipes that I started for my barbecue rub and my barbecue sauce, I've been playing around with for like probably 5 or 6 years. And I would tweak the rub recipe all the time I made it. And then when I was looking for some paprika in the store, and it dawned on me, why am I looking for paprika? Why don't I just use some New Mexico red chili? I mean, we have it everywhere in every grocery store here. So when I started adding that to my rub, it really changed my rub, and I thought it made it like really unique. And then I was making a base of barbecue sauce, and I would add my seasoning to the sauce, so I get that same flavor profile.
Right.
And the usual story: your friends tell you, "Oh, this is great! You should bottle it." And that's kind of what started. I was like in between jobs last year, and I had some time on my hands, and I decided, I want to do something in food and something I really love to do. So. I went through the process of getting it bottled, and that's been a whole learning experience in itself, but it's been a lot of fun. It's really a lot of like a labor of love to put your name on a product and then go out there and sell it to people.
Are you presently selling it online and at stores, or how are you selling the product?
I have an online store at albuquerqueseasonings.com, and then I also have a store on Facebook where I'm selling it from, and I'm also in like 10 stores here in New Mexico, mostly specialty stores. I have like 7, 9 here in Albuquerque and 2 down in Las Cruces.
Oh, good.
So,
is it moving pretty well there in the stores?
Yeah, some stores are better than others, depending on what kind of traffic the store gets. And I was going out to growers markets earlier this year and this summer and getting out and meeting people, and I was having good luck there too. It just it takes some time to get some traction for a product. I thought it was going to be easier, but it's not.
Right.
And
well, it's tough.
I'm actually going to go do some demos this afternoon.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's tough bringing a product to the market when you're up against the big guys, and it's a lot of shoe leather and shaking hands, and as I call it, winking and pointing at the right people to get your product in. But it has to be a labor of love. You're correct. Now, do you actually do the bottling there, or are you having it private label for you, or how are you doing that out there in New Mexico?
Private label. There's a company here that bottles it for me, and I just give them my recipe. The first time we went in to make the sauce, I actually went in and helped make the sauce, so we got the sauce right.
Okay.
And the company I'm working with does a really great job of helping out hobbyists. There's a lot of other hobby people in town, as I say, that are doing the same thing, and we all seem to know each other just because we all bottle with the same guy. But I always joke, I think the only guy getting rich is our bottler.
Well, you said your website a little while ago, and it's www, and it's Albuquerque, and that's spelled a little bit different than what most people might think for Albuquerque. It's A-L-B-U, Kirky, K-I-R-K-Y, which I'm sure is a spin on your name, and at seasonings.com,
yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and that's I guess that is right. The Kirky is the play on Kirk Munkert, right?
Yes, it is. And actually, I started the business a year ago, so this is like my anniversary month, and everything in my store is only $5 this month.
Oh, that's good. So you got specials you're running right now.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Right now.
I really enjoyed it. It was really good. It has a little pop to it, which I guess that is the New Mexico chili that's given the pop and the taste. And I really enjoyed it. It's actually a little bit different than what most sauces and rub that I've had out there. It must be the unique chili that does it. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's the red chili because, you know, like I said, I was working this recipe for years and I was trying to use different paprikas. Like I was using a hot paprika and a smoked paprika, and it always seemed to taste about the same or it tasted similar to other types of rubs. So when I got away from using the paprika and started using the red chili, it added like a whole new flavor to it. And, you know, that's when it dawned on me, hey, this is something different. So I kept the recipe.
Well, thumbs up over here. Now, on the show, what we allow people to do is we come on to promote their products and tell about their websites, but we also like to dig a little deeper and look behind the closet door to find out a little bit more about who they are and a little bit about themselves. So I usually ask people to tell me something about you that maybe nobody knows. If they were going on your Facebook page, yeah, they see your products and see you. But is there any hobbies, special hobbies that you do or things that people may not know about Kirk and might want to share with the listening people here on the radio show?
Hmm.
And I always get that blank stare, that deer in the headlights sound every time I ask that question.
It's like a job interview. It doesn't seem like I have a lot of hobbies lately since I started doing this last year. Like all my weekends are taken up doing something for my company. But you know, when I'm not working, when I'm not like promoting, I do like to spend time in my backyard grilling. That seems to be a really relaxing thing.
Right.
I play golf, and
okay.
My wife and I like to watch a lot of movies when we have time.
So in other words, between work and making sauces and out there pushing the product, there's not a whole lot of time to do anything else.
No. But,
That's what I found about entrepreneurs. They seem to be very dedicated and have always something going on with their product. And when you ask them, well, what else do you do? Everybody just sort of goes, that is kind of my life. But that's good.
Well,
I've noticed on your website you got something called a discot. Is that correct? What is the discot?
The discot is actually made by a friend of mine here in Albuquerque, Nevin Montano, and he has a company, and it's basically like an outdoor cooking wok, and the disc is made from a tractor plow disc. And it's over a burner, so you can cook on it like a wok. And I cook on that quite a bit. That's like one of my favorite little quick cooking tools. You can do like a lot of stir fries in it. Bevan has like some videos that he has on his page, and I've shot a couple videos for him, and I cook lamb chops on there. And what else did I make? I made something else for him too. But, I mean, it's a really versatile dish because you got like a different heating in each center. Like the very center is really hot, and as you move out, it cools off. So it's like you're cooking a hamburger. You can cook your hamburgers close to the middle, and then your buns on the outside, and then as the drippings collect to the middle, you can like throw some onions or something in there and then put that on top of your burger. It's a really neat cooking device, man. I really enjoy it. I've had it for probably like 4 years now, and they're pretty popular here in the Southwest. I went to a tailgating thing recently, and I must have saw like 8 or 9 of them with other people there, and they all know Nevin, and they all know what's going on. And he recently had a cook-off back in July to raise money for the Children's Miracle Network at UNM Hospital. And he raised over $70,000 for him with the event. But it was a really great event. They had, almost 60 teams there cooking. And I cooked up a chicken tender with my rub in it and dipped it in the sauce. And it was a big hit. I like ran out of chicken twice, so...
Is it standalone unit, or does it go on top of your grill?
On unit, the propane tank sits underneath it, and then underneath the disc, there's a burner, and it's got a really good burner on it, like a really good gas burner. You know, a lot of people have old water heater burners, and Nevin got the idea to actually make it like a real completely made professional type device, and it's pretty cool. I mean, my sister got so impressed she finally bought one herself.
Yeah, it looks interesting. I'd never seen one. So basically, it's like an outdoor tailgating wok mechanism for you to, and you can just cook. Like you said, you can do stir fries, you can do your burgers, you can do your buns on the outside. And like you said, the heat varies based on where you put it on the disc.
Yeah.
And you sell those on your website?
No, I don't sell them on my website, but Nevin does. His is he's got a website, diskit.com, DISC-IT.com.
Okay.
Or if you just Google Diskit, he'll come up.
Okay. Well, what I want to do too is to give you a chance to, like you said, you had a special on your website, and you said everything is $5 this month because of your anniversary month. And if people want to go and buy your products, it's once again the www.albuquerqueseasonings.com. I also noticed too that you have a blog that you carry on, and it's a separate website. And you want to tell us a little bit about what your blog and what you do on your blog?
Yeah, I do the blog as something kind of separate from my business, from my spice seasoning, because there's other stuff I like to cook with on there, and it's more about just cooking and trying to write about what I cook and have fun. Now, I actually cook with other people's stuff on there from time to time and try to give recommendations, but it's just kind of really started out as a way for me to keep track of my recipes, because I wasn't writing anything down, and I couldn't remember from month to month like how I fixed something last time. So it's kind of how it started, but then it kind of morphed into like a bigger deal. And you know, I really like keeping up with the blog. It's a lot of fun, and learning to take pictures and all the stuff that goes along with it. But it's just something more of a fun thing to do. It gives cooking tips and gives a chance for me to push my cooking skills. Like I watch stuff on Food Network, or I read other people's blogs and say, no, I need to try that. So it kind of keeps me, keeps my cooking skills sharp, as they say.
Now, if people want to see your blog or also go to your website, they can find you on Facebook, and it's you go under the name, it's under the name of K Moncrief. It's facebook.com/K Moncrief. And you spell that K M U N C R I E F. And I guess that from there, people can go to Facebook, find you, and then click on to your other websites from there.
Yes, and I also have an Albuquerque Seasonings page on Facebook. It's Facebook/Albuquerque. And
okay.
Then there's a link to my blog from my AlbuquerqueSeasonings.com site or Albuquerque.blogspot.com.
Okay. Well, we're going to have our next guest on in a little while, and I've got to go to a break. They break this radio broadcast into two sections, but I wanted to thank you for coming on the show this morning. Apologize from last week and all the technical difficulties we have, but I wish you the best out there in New Mexico with your product, and it is excellent, people. I tried it out, and like I said, the plate was wiped clean, so that tells you everybody sitting at the table liked it. It didn't had nothing to do with my cooking. It had everything to do with the sauce and the rub, I believe. But we do appreciate you coming on, Kirk, and wish you the best out there. And anybody out there who wants to get in touch with Kirk, go to his website and check it out and go out and buy some of his products, and it will certainly make your meals tasty. And thanks again for stopping by, Kirk.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care.
Take care.
That was Kirk Moncrief, again, at AlbuquerqueSeasonings.com. We're going to be taking a short break here, and our next guest is Charlotte Gonzalez of Fat Matt's Barbecue. So stick around, folks, and we'll be right back shortly.
The part is on and the coast is clear. Put on some beans, put on some blues, having a Mississippi barbecue. Want all the neighbors, tie up the dog. Gonna cook a bite, a half a hog. Call up my cubs and the jungle twins. They show us drunk, don't you let them in. Go on some ribs.
Everybody to Brilliant Ideas Radio. This is your host, Grillion Ideas, and we welcome back to our Saturday show where we find out more about the folks that you may see on Facebook or Twitter that are in the food business. They may be a barbecue, they may be into all kinds of different products, and this is a chance for them to come on the radio, tell a little bit about their company, and tell a little bit about themselves. And we appreciate everybody stopping in this morning. And our next guest this morning is Charlotte Gonzalez from Fat Matt's Barbecue. And Charlotte, if I did these things right, you should be on the line here with us. How are you doing, Charlotte?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's about time we finally get you on the radio.
I'm telling you. With all the mishaps that have happened.
We've had a heck of a time between, I think for the last 3 weeks we tried to get you on, Charlotte, and I had an issue, family emergency, and then we had you scheduled again, and then you had problems, and we had technical difficulties. So, hey, you're finally on.
Woohoo!
Hey, I appreciate you coming on and appreciate you hanging in there so we can get you on the show. And I wanted to have everybody hear a little bit about your company and Fat Matt's Barbecue Restaurant there in Oakland, California, which unfortunately I have not been able to ever make it there to enjoy the food. But from what I hear, it is fantastic, and everybody raves about the food and what you guys do there. So I just wanted to have you on and kind of get you to – it's your time to do a promo. Tell us about your company. Tell about your restaurant and how you got involved. And so how did you get involved with the restaurant and barbecue business?
Wow. So Matt and I have been married about 22 years. And back in the day, we were the house that everybody came to on the weekends. You know, we'd queue it up and play games and party and just have a good time. And our friends and our family used to encourage us about getting into business or seeking out something professionally. And I was sitting there one day watching the Food Network, and they had the string of barbecue competitions going on.
Okay.
And a little light bulb kind of went off in my head. And I kid you not, the next day I get the paper, and there's a full-page ad for the Alameda County Fair Amateur Rib Cook-Off. I filled out the form, sent in the check. I didn't even tell Matt about it until about 3 weeks after the fact. And so that was our first competition. It's a two-round competition. They require you to make your own rub, your own sauce. You have to get through the first round to get to the finals. And we did that successfully the first year. We placed that first year. We were the only team to do it 4 years in a row. And,
wow.
Yeah, and then we started. That first year, we were a little overzealous. I don't think we had ever cooked a brisket or a shoulder in our lives. And we decided to enter one of the big boy competitions and failed miserably in that. We showed up with our little backyard smoker, and these guys were out there with these huge rigs. And I just kind of looked at him, and I was like, baby, I think we are so far out of our league. So to make a long story short, we bombed completely. And so we went back to the drawing board, and I would say probably about 3 years and, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 later in meat after killing a bunch of it, we learned and perfected our craft. And it was at that point then that we really started winning. We won a couple in the big boy competitions, and I looked at him one year and I said, you know what, let's stop competing for a second, let's take it to the general public. And the easiest way that we found to do that was to pick up a farmer's market. So we kept our day jobs. We ordered a custom built Dave Close smoker, and literally we were coming home from work at about 6 o'clock at night and queuing till 1 or 2 in the morning, going to bed, getting back up at 4 o'clock, going to work, doing it all over again. To make a long story short, we were really, really successful. And after about 3 months of the six days a week and, you know, minimal sleep, we were
right.
Kind of becoming zombies.
You were basically living off of barbecue fumes and smoke at that point, right?
Pretty much, yeah. So Matt just happened to one day go on to eBay, and he was looking for smokers. And I kid you not, the Salt Lick Barbecue in Vegas had gone out of business. They had two J&Rs and two huge Southern Prides for sale for $30,000. So anybody who's priced any of these big boy smokers knows that those things cost anywhere from $22,000 to $60,000 a whop. I flew him down there immediately and snatched it all up. We ended up selling three of the smokers. We kept the larger J&R for ourselves, and life became much more manageable at that point. We only, you know, cooked for a couple of nights a week. My neighbors were very happy. They weren't being smoked out, you know, 7 days a week.
Right.
And it just grew from there. I mean, my lines at the farmer's market were 15, 30 deep. Any given Saturday, rain or shine, people just really loved the product. And so in early 2009, another market group kind of quartered us away from our day jobs. And with this promise of this indoor farmer's market that was going to be all this grandeur and beauty and love and peace and light. And it just wasn't that. It was more of a glorified hot food court. And when you put 13 hot food vendors in one small commercial kitchen, it's a recipe for disaster.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so it took about 5 months for the health department to kind of come in and catch wind of what was going on. I saw some real food atrocities happening while I was there by the other vendors. And they shut it down. And Matt and I kind of found ourselves looking at each other going, well, what do we do now? You know, do we go back to work for other people? Or do we try to pursue something on our own? And we happened to spot a restaurant that had been a known barbecue spot, which, you know, can be either a curse or a plus, right?
Right, right.
For about 20 years. Turns out that this place, early in the early days, had a really good reputation. It was a family chain. And we just kind of went in and took over the spot. And we've been there for this month on the 20th. It'll be 2 years for us.
Wow.
And the blessing with that is that when we moved into the spot, there was a gentleman who came in the interim between us and this other barbecue place, and he brought in a smaller J&R. So there's already a J&R in place at the restaurant.
Oh, okay.
So when we saw it, we were like, perfect. We know how to work with the J&R. We, you know, we've been doing it for a couple of years, and we just focused on our product. And, you know, Matt and I have always felt we didn't want to focus on one barbecue style. We really wanted to represent what you would find if you were to take a road trip across the country regionally.
Yeah, I was noticing on your website you have all different types of styles of barbecue, not just one, and which is unique because most of the time you go to a barbecue restaurant, it's just, you know, in that particular region. But you guys have picked up and sort of done it across the board.
Exactly. And, you know, and especially here in California, I hate to say it, there's a lot of Californians that really just don't understand what barbecue is about. A lot. You know, they think it's tri-tip, and yeah, tri-tip's beautiful for California, but the reality is when you get outside of California, people really don't understand what tri-tip is.
Right.
You know, they understand brisket, they understand shoulder, they understand ribs. And so
in California, it's basically people think of hot dogs, burgers, steaks, and chicken,
exactly.
And that's about it.
Exactly. And so we've been educating people along the way. You know, we get a lot of questions as to why the meat is pink. Is it done? So I printed up a nice little write-up that somebody had done that explains the whole smoking process and what happens chemically and why the meat is pink. So, but yeah, we're changing minds and changing attitudes, and people love us. And
well,
we're just really happy.
What's your specialty there at the restaurant?
Brisket, hands down.
Brisket, hands down.
Hands down, it's my top seller. Matt has, he's our pit master, by the way. I do most of the sides, and I cook most of the desserts. But he has got this thing down to a science. That brisket just comes off with the most beautiful bark and the melt-in-your-mouth texture. And, you know, there's a fine point with brisket as to where it's either going to be dry or you overcook it and it just falls apart.
Right.
To where you can actually get those nice slices out of it and still have it retain and be juicy and succulent. And he's got that down to a T.
Well, don't tell anybody, but what I hear everybody raves about those sides and the desserts too, but don't tell Matt that we said that. I think the people kind of sneak in for those too.
Oh yeah. My peach cobbler is pretty well known.
I've actually had people describe your food online, and it's just it sounds amazing. I actually found you through Twitter, I guess about 2 years ago. Someone had made a comment about your product, and I've tried to get up there several times, and every time I strike out, but everybody just raves about how wonderful the food is, and it's got a great reputation there in Oakland, and it's been, I guess, like you said, a labor of love for you, but it sounds like you're doing pretty well.
Yeah, well, you know, I think what it is that, you know, I'm a foodie too. I eat out, and I think we all recognize when you go into a restaurant and you know that the food is produced with love, you know?
Right.
I think it comes out in the food. You can taste it. And that's
like going to grandma's.
Exactly.
Grandma's food
exactly.
Always tastes the best because she made it with love.
Absolutely. And, you know, Matt and I are, I tell people, we didn't get into this to be rich. We know that we're not going to get rich off a restaurant. We do it because we're really, really passionate about what we do. And we love what we do. And I think that shows in the food.
You know, and that's what it's all about, too. They say if you're going to do something, make sure you're doing something that you love. And obviously you guys have got a passion for the food, the product, making sure that you've got a quality product going to your customers. And it shows based on what people are saying and all the reviews that you're getting. So congratulations for that, because people can go out. People can go out and just make food, but you put a little extra twist on it and making sure everybody's extremely happy. Now I got a question. You know that if you've listened to our show, and I always catch people off guard. But I don't know why, because if they listen to the show, they would know. But tell us something about Charlotte that nobody knows. It's something that, you know, a secret passion or maybe something like a gift that you have. Do you play a guitar? Or give us a little insight, a little bit more about Charlotte. We know you love barbecue, but is there anything that people don't know about you?
Before we started this whole barbecue venture, I was an avid golfer.
Oh.
I have a brand new set of Nike clubs that have never seen a range. Have never seen a golf course that I will not get rid of, because I know at some point in time in my life there will be an opportunity to go back out on the golf course.
So you've got that secret golf passion, you just don't have time to play.
Exactly, exactly. Which is one of the things when you open up a restaurant, and I guess one of my problems is, you know, Matt says I need to write down recipes. And I'm one of those
right.
cooks that I don't cook with a recipe. I go by sight and smell. So for me to teach somebody my trade is very difficult to do. They have to have that natural ability, you know.
A little pinch of this and a little pinch of that is how you probably
and
make everything right.
And a dash of this, and yeah, that smells right, and you know. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's great. Now, do you guys also have a product line that you put out,
Yeah, we are currently right now working on, we're working with a co-packer right now about getting our sauce bottled.
Good.
So hopefully within the next year, we're in the middle of that process right now. We're going through test batching. Hopefully by next year, you'll be able, at least here locally in Northern California, be able to find it. Maybe on our website, I'll be able to do some shipping out. And then because we don't use any salt in our rub,
mm-hmm.
A lot of the brethren have requested that maybe we start packaging up the rub, too.
Okay. Yeah, it seems almost like a natural based on how people rave about your products and the rubs and the sauce on your food at the restaurant. I figure that it must be something in the works, and it's a good idea to get it out there. So, of course, they can't cook it as well as you, but if someone wants to give it a shot, at least they have the right rubs and sauces to
Yeah,
give them a chance to make it taste like the restaurant, close to
well,
the
and
restaurant.
See, and that's another plus is I happen to have high blood pressure, and I guess Matt found out about that about 6 years ago and revamped all the rubs, all the sauces, so that they contain no salt. Don't cook with salt in the restaurant. I take that back. My only bad are my collard greens, because collard greens need salt bark. I'm sorry.
Oh, man, collard greens. My grandmother used to make collard greens. Now I know I'm coming to your restaurant.
Yeah, and I do them old school style. Old southern style. They're a two-day process. I spend one day boiling down the meat and getting that pot liquor going and throw the greens in the next day and let those cook out till they're not, you know, bitter and fully yummy with some love.
Do you throw the fat back in? Or what did my grandmother used to call it? She used to call it, well, she called it pork rind. It was the wrong thing to call it, but do you use the fat back in your collard greens?
Absolutely. I use salt pork in mine, just a nice little piece of it. That between the hock meat, you know, that gives the nice smoky flavor and adds that extra little kick. And, you know, here in California, with the health kick, I get more people screaming about, make it with turkey wings, make it with this. I'm like, no, I'm sticking to what I know. You know, I was taught how to cook by old Southern cooks. I'm doing what I know how to do best.
And
make
amen
your own collard
that
greens, you want them with turkey, you know.
Yeah, I have to ask, too, it's off the subject, but has any of this unrest that's going on there in Oakland affected your restaurant, or is it close by where you are?
Luckily, we are just outside of what's going on. I know that in the neighborhood that our restaurant is based in, that there's a lot of our neighbors support the cause. So I'm sure most of the country is aware of this, that on the 2nd, they tried to do a city strikeout, basically asking businesses to close down and support the 99%. So Matt and I, we worked till about, we did our lunch, worked till 2, and, you know, in respect and solidarity, and because so many of our customers do support that cause, and we are part of the 99% also, we just said, you know what, we're going to shut down. Probably wasn't the best decision financially, but, you know, there are times where you have to make that ethical call.
I understand what they're trying to promote. I guess it's all, but the problem is there's always bad apples that ruin the whole bunch, and that's the downside of it. You get the folks who want to stir things up, but you have to respect what the people are trying to.
Well, you know, and
the message they're trying to get out.
And that's the thing, you know, even with the Oscar grant, when all of that went down, we had a huge group come in that weren't from Oakland. You know, they were from various parts of the country, you know, dressed in black, and all they wanted to do was create mayhem and chaos.
Yep. Yep.
And I think out of the 102 arrests, you know, most of those people weren't from Oakland that they made the other day. And so, yes, that's part of the battle, too, you know, and I really like the fact that the people that are doing this and want to do it peacefully stepped in and said, you know what, stop throwing rocks. And they were taking the rocks out of people's hands and, you know, saying, this is crazy. Stop this nonsense. This is not what we're here for.
Well, I was wondering if it was affecting you, because I know everybody hears it on the news in Oakland. They see what's going on, and
well, my dinner business, you know, once it gets dark, I think people are a little bit more cautious about venturing out. So my dinner business has gone down because of that.
Right.
And probably because I'm like I said, I'm just outside of that area. And so I think that has been a deterrent for customers.
Well, hopefully
this whole thing will calm down.
Yeah,
I'm sorry?
Hopefully. I said, I hope everything improves and it'll calm down and business will pick up again.
I have no doubt. You know, I Matt and I have a can't fail attitude, and we figure if we just stick to what we do and do it with all the love and the passion that we do it, that we're going to be okay.
Well, I'm looking at the clock here and I can't believe it. The time is about to run out. In fact, we're about a minute and a half away from shutdown here. And I just want to tell you, I appreciate you coming on and hanging in there to get on the radio, and wish you and Matt the best out there in Oakland with your restaurant. And as a matter of fact, if you want to give your phone number and your address, I got it right here. Fat Matt's Barbecue. It's at 3415 Telegraph Road in Oakland, California. You guys check out Fat Matt's and go there and have some of those collard greens while you're there, and some of that peach pie, peach cobbler. And I really appreciate you stopping in and telling a little bit about your restaurant, and it was very nice talking to you, Charlotte.
It's been a pleasure, you know, and I can't wait for the day that we finally meet face to face.
Well, I'm definitely coming. Just got to get my schedule straight. I'll be there and hold some collard greens and peach cobbler for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. You take care.
You too now. Thank you.
And that was Charlotte Gonzalez of Fat Matt's Barbecue. The clock is ticking down very fast here, so we're going to be signing off, and we appreciate everyone stopping by. It's a Grillion Ideas Radio. Everyone have a great Saturday and the rest of the week, and we'll see you next week, same place, same time. We'll be right back.